Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to jump in today just for a few minutes. Something the Lord has been stirring in me a little bit here. I know, I'll be honest with you, I look to unhook from this series of messages on the spirit of faith, because I know this is a season where you want to teach about certain things, but I just had a pull to stay here for a lesson or two. And you know, one thing about the Bible is that everything you need, in other words, the whole Bible itself has the capacity to produce faith for whatever you need. The whole Bible has the capacity to produce faith for whatever you need. So whatever we're studying, whether it's healing, prosperity, family, love, whatever it is, it has the capacity to produce faith for that. So whatever we're studying, and whenever we're studying, we need to look at it and draw faith for that. Is that understood? So yes, the whole Bible doesn't talk about faith, but it has the capacity to produce faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. When you get tired of hearing it, hear it and keep hearing it and keep hearing it, and bang, something happens. Faith happens. And then when faith happens, what are we supposed to do? Act on it. So often I've experienced that. You just feel like, I don't want to listen to this again. You just keep listening and listening. You force yourself to listen. And in that hearing, faith comes. Hallelujah. Faith will come if you continue to hear. One thing that is evident for me, you may not know, you may be confronted with a situation, and you may not know what to do. That's understandable. You're confronted with something. You don't know what to do. You say, I don't know what to do. One thing you know not to do, and that's fear. You may not know what to do in that situation, but you know what not to do, and that is fear. Because fear will defeat you. You just purpose, I'm not going to fear. And in that, you keep listening to the Word of God, feed on the Word of God when confronted, and faith and direction will come. But you can't mix faith and fear. What did the Word of the Lord say this morning? All things are possible to them who fear. All things are possible to them who believe. And believing is going to come, faith and confidence is going to come when we keep hearing and hearing and hearing and feeding and hearing and feeding. And it will drive fear out. You may get a bad report. You may get a bunch of bad reports. But one thing you don't want to do is entertain it. That's not to say that it's not legitimate or real or factual. But you don't want to give it life with your words. The doctor may say XYZ. All right. I don't know what I may do in that situation, but I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to fear. Fear hath what?
Torment.
And we want to be at peace and in faith. Amen? So it's key to stay in faith. The just shall live by faith and walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. So today, I've entitled this, Faith Determines Your Destiny. Faith will determine your destiny. And there's so many examples in the Bible we could spend here hours going through, but I've just pulled a few that are noteworthy or notable. And I think, you know, of course, we can go through them, but when it comes to the spirit of faith, think about this. Jesus had the spirit without what? He had it without measure. If anybody had the spirit of faith, the Master did. And we could walk through situation after situation where we see the spirit of faith evident in that situation. How many times did the Master say to those that he prayed, fear not? Did he not? Fear not, only believe. And so with that, when we're confronted with life's circumstances, your faith will determine the outcome. It'll determine the destiny of your life. Fear not, only believe. Hallelujah. Only believe. We may not know what we're going to do in this situation until we get instructions from heaven. But one thing we're not going to do is fear. Fear not, only believe. That was the word of the Lord today. It's not impossible with God. Hallelujah. I don't know if that helped you, but it blesses me. Amen. Because fear is a spirit, and fear is tangible. But I'll tell you who's greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The spirit of faith. Faith is greater in me than fear that's trying to come on me. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for these few moments that we have. And we thank you for your word, which is bread and life and manna to us. Thank you that it is food for our spirit. Thank you that it is forever settled. And Father, if we just keep our focus and our heart filled with the Word of God, that it will transform our mind so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of yours. And Father, we thank you today for the founders of this ministry. Thank you that Pastor Clinton is with you in glory. And we thank you that even now Pastor Sarah is mending and restoring. Thank you that there's much work to do. And I thank you that the best days are yet ahead for her. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for this great assembly of people here. Thank you for this place that we can assemble in debt-free. Thank you, Father, that you have a better place. And we thank you, Father, for the words spoken by those that have come before us. that has said that this place is too small, and you said that we might as well just put a for sale sign up and move. Well, you have a place picked out for us. And we thank you, Father, we believe for it. Thank you that it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. And we give you all of the honor and praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's open our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start there today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These few scriptures, I guess you could call, are foundational scriptures. And one thing we're going to do here is as we continue to hear what faith looks like, that's what we're doing here today. We're going to look at what faith looks like and sounds like and acts like and how it responds so we can recognize that same spirit in ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read from the King James Version first. Starting in verse 6, it says, "For God, who commanded," he spoke, "the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, inside us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And then it continues, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." So you can see up to this point, you can see here a Paul writing, it talks about how God has shined in our hearts and that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And no matter what we're confronted with, what does it say? We're persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, not destroyed. And it continues down to verse 13. "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So you can see here, the spirit of faith must have two components. You must believe and you must speak what you believe. That are the two components. You can't believe and think what you believe. You can't just, you know, have good intentions. You must say what you believe. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says the same thing. How do we get into heaven? You believe in your heart and you say, you confess with your mouth. Hallelujah. So if we're not saying what we believe, what do we conclude? That is not the spirit of faith. That's not living faith. Faith must act upon what it believes. It must act upon what it believes. What do I mean by that? I was listening to some tapes over the weekend, and I had them. It's interesting. I was speaking with Brother Mars. He said, I sent him the tapes. He said, you ought to listen to those. And I said, okay. He said, I want you to listen to those before you go to bed. Well, I got half of them because it was late by the time I got done talking with him. So it was some tapes by Dr. Larry Hutton on healing made easy. And there was something that just resonated with me. You know, we hear, Dr. Hutton has been here a few times, and he always talks about, you know, growing up, and he had some allergies and different things, and the doctors told him he'd have to live with it and so forth and so on. But what he doesn't talk about a lot is that he had a cancer in his body, a tumor, and he said it protruded out of his back like a big lump. And he said it was very painful. And he said that, you know, fear tried to grip him and so forth. But he began to feed on the Word of God. God told him, I want you to listen to your own healing tape. So I listen to my own healing tape. Okay. So he began to listen to Heaven's Health Food. And he said, I listened to it 24 hours a day, day in, day out. Day in, day out, day in, day out. And he said, you know, there were times I didn't want to listen to it anymore, but I forced myself to listen to it. And he said, that cancer got worse and worse. And he said, but I didn't say anything initially. He said, I just listened to the tape. Why didn't he say anything? Faith wasn't there. Faith needs to be energized. It needs to be initiated by the Spirit of God when there's an unction to speak. And so he kept listening to this for a period of a couple of weeks. And then he said, one day there was this unction. He said, it just come up out of me to speak and curse that thing from the root. And he said, it got worse, and it got bigger. But he said, I knew that the words that I had spoken were words energized. They were rhema. They were energized by the Spirit of God. And it came from my spirit like a sword. So he said, even though it got worse, I knew I had cursed it. And he remarks in there that he said, how many know that when you cut the root off of something, there's still life in it? So the thing had been cursed, and he said that thing got bigger and more painful for another 7 days. And then all of a sudden, the thing shrunk up and went away. You see. So the key is, again, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. You may get evil reports in life. Doesn't have to be health. It could be anything. Whatever it is. There's an answer. There's faith in the Word of God for that situation. You keep listening to the Word of God. And faith will come for that, and a word that's planted in your heart will be energized and pushed out of this spirit by the Spirit of God, and it is a sword of the Spirit. And it will change that circumstance. But the key is, keep feeding. Keep listening. That's what he said. He said, I got tired of hearing myself teach on that. Speak those scriptures. But he said, I forced myself to listen. I remember one time I was home. You've heard me share this. It was when we had cassette tapes. And I play that tape, flip it over. Play it, flip it over. Play it, flip it over. I got tired of listening to it. It was Brother Hagin. something. I don't remember what it was now, but I had a high fever. And I remember listening to that, and I had gone to the extent of, I said, well, maybe I'll make a doctor appointment, go have a checkup. And it was a 2 or 3 days out. And I kept listening to this tape. And I could barely lift myself up. And I kept listening and kept listening and kept listening and kept listening and kept listening. And then all of a sudden, I'm laying in bed, and it was like a, it just like a it come up out of my spirit. And I spoke in tongues, and I said, I got it. And I knew I had it. I didn't feel any better. I didn't look any better. I'll tell you what I did. I got out of bed, dragged myself, went and took a shower, and came into work. I came in here. I could only sit up maybe 15, 20 minutes at the desk. I was weak. But I dragged myself in here because I said, I got it. And I did. So the spirit of faith, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Let me just read this in a few other translations. This is the Knox translation. I spoke my mind, says the scripture, with full confidence. That's faith there. We believe, I'm sorry, and we too speak our minds with full confidence. So when you speak, you're speaking with full confidence. That's faith. Faith is having what? Confidence. So when you speak, you're speaking with full confidence that what you're saying shall come to pass. That's why it's important not to just get up and start speaking things. Keep feeding, keep feeding. So when confidence comes, you're speaking with full confidence that it shall happen. That's the Amplified. I'm not going to read that. Okay. Let's turn over this morning and just spend a few minutes here. Turn over to Romans 12:2. That we'll start there. Romans 12:2. And you'll see how this is pertinent where the spirit of faith is concerned. I asked this question as I was looking at this last night. I was just looking at these notes. I said, what is the spirit of faith? How would you recognize that in yourself? Or how would you recognize that in someone else? Has anybody ever recognized that in someone? Anybody say yes, no, you're not sure? Well, if you're not sure, it might be good to be sure so that you know what it is or you could recognize it. Something that comes to mind, when Jesus was teaching, it said he assembled in a house, and he said the Pharisees and so forth came. They came from all over, and they couldn't get in, and no one else could get in the house. And so when this paralytic man came, He tried to get in. He couldn't get in, right? And what did they do? They brought him up on the roof and let him in front of Jesus. But what did Jesus say? He saw their faith. He saw it. So faith can be seen. And the spirit of faith can be seen. And it can be heard. One thing that you could say is, I believe the spirit of faith. First of all, let's read this scripture here first. In Romans 12, 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When the spirit of faith is evident, there's been a transformation in the mind, in the soul. You can't have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. I shouldn't say that. Some people do, and you can just operate in faith. But what I'm saying is that the soul, the soulish part, is transformed and renewed by the Word of God. But when we talk about the spirit of faith, we're talking about something that's, you can, let's say it this way. If I said that a person had a spirit of something, how many have said, this person was a hero, right? And they did something, and there was a spirit about them that they just said, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to help. I'm going to do something. Right? There's a spirit about that person. There's a, what could we say? There's an attitude. Right? Same thing. If you looked at sports and team sport, there's a spirit of victory, a spirit of winning with that group. Is there not? So when we talk about the spirit of faith, part of it is there's a spirit, there's a thinking, an attitude of an overcomer. And that can only come about, that transformation, that can only come about by the renewing of your mind. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that you look at things and say, oh no, we're going through. I don't care what it looks like, we're going. Yeah. How do you know that? Because your mind has been renewed and transformed that I'm an overcomer. I'm a believer. All things are possible with God. Why? Because I believe. Not only in my heart, but there's been a transformation in my thinking, in my mind. So the spirit of faith has an attitude of winning, of victory, of overcoming. And that can only come about. This is what the Holy Ghost was saying this morning. That can only come about by feeding on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. What does the scripture say in Joshua 1:8? Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night. And what? And you will do what? You'll make your own way what? Prosperous or successful. So the outcome, your outcome is determined by what you meditate upon. And you can have faith for the negative, or you can have faith for and in God. And your destiny is determined by that. Is that not true? That's why it is so important We are going to get bombarded in these last days. Let me just jump over here a second. There's a scripture that's coming to mind here. Turn to Luke 21. And that's why I say it's important to feed upon the Word of God. Stay in a living communion with God. Luke 21 and 25. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." What's the next thing it says? Men's hearts failing them for what?
Fear.
Fear. Fear. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And the only way you're going to combat that is staying in this word and in communion and fellowship with God. So that when these perplexities are confronting this nation or your town or your city or your house, your heart doesn't fail you for fear or with fear. That it's full of faith and the spirit of faith, and you know what to do. And fear will try to come. Fear will try to grip us. But I'm telling you, you're gonna need to know what to do in these days. Amen. Turn over to 2 Timothy. You know this particular scripture verse. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but we have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's why I was reading Romans 12, 2, that we need to have our minds transformed. Because otherwise you can fall prey to a spirit of fear. What am I going to do? I don't know. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know. I may not know either. But one thing I'm not going to do is talk fear, think fear, act in fear. But I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give Him thanks. I'm going to praise Him. And keep that present and keep people around you that will talk faith. Don't surround yourself. What did Jesus do when he went to Jairus' daughter? What did he do? He put him out of the house. Did he not? He put him out of the house. He didn't surround himself with naysayers. Hallelujah. The Amplified in 2 Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity," and in parentheses it says, "of cowardice, of craven, and cringing, and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." So you can see, and let me back up here. I'm going to read a couple of other translations. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read a couple of other translations in Romans 12:2. And this is why when we talk about the spirit of faith, it's an attitude. How does that attitude come? By the renewing of your mind. This is the Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. I like this. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. So we're not to be squeezed into this world system's mold, but let God remold us. Remold what? Your attitude, your thinking. And out of that, a spirit of faith will operate. Because your attitude on how you look at things, you will look at things like he looks at them. I will look at things like he looks at them, because why? My mind's been renewed. My attitude is changed. I don't see myself as a victim, but a victor. I don't see myself as being overcome, but overcoming. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. So I have a different perspective on things. It's a word perspective. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the Message translation. You've heard this one. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. See, when we're confronted, how should we think? We think like the Word. Because the Word has changed our thinking and our mind. So when we're confronting something, we let that which has been put in us see it like He sees it. Hallelujah. Instead, fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out. Hallelujah. So that's how we are to operate. We're to operate with the spirit of faith. How does that come? It comes by having your mind renewed and changed. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, that's a lifelong process. That's not something that just happens overnight. That's daily. Let me ask the question. Did we all get like this overnight? No. We ate and 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 ate, right? Some of us ate a little bit too much. But even not the eating part, as you eat, you grow and develop. Some get taller, some get wider, some get whatever. But we develop. And growing in faith is the same thing. This is a lifelong process of developing this spirit of faith, having our minds transformed and renewed. It cannot be just coming to church on Sunday and hearing a 45-minute snack. This is a process every day, every day, every day, every day. Like you eat, you must feed upon the Word of God. And listen to it. So that your mind is transformed and changed. Hallelujah. Let's take a look for a moment. I'm going to read this. This was, I thought, noteworthy. How many have ever heard? You can still buy her books, by the way. She was back in the early 1900s, Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, Y-E-O-M-A-N-S. Some of her books are still available if you're interested. But she made a statement which I thought was very noteworthy. It says, God has tied himself irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purposes. He's tied himself to human cooperation. We have to cooperate with him so that he can execute his divine purposes. He has made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. Our faith is the determining factor in redemption. And so, with that, it says, although God is sovereign, he has tied himself to human cooperation to work out his divine purposes. So, the spirit of faith requires that in order for God to do the things that we believe him for, we have to cooperate. And the cooperating is we have to believe and have confidence in that which we believe and what? Speak it. Hallelujah. And he does his part. Hallelujah. Let's turn over. Just wanted to look at a few instances we can see here. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel. You know this story. We look at just a couple that came to mind, 1 Samuel 17. And you look at the story of David and Goliath, you can see the spirit of faith evident here. You can see this story, how David, even 1 Samuel 17, see, I thought this was interesting. When you look at this in the light of the spirit of faith. If you look at verse 32, it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. No fear. No fear. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And then, of course, Saul tells him what he couldn't do. And David kept affirming, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him, and he kept telling him what he's going to do. See, you're going to have that in life. You're going to have people tell you what you can't do. What's not going to happen. It's impossible. But it's possible with my God. See, and if you get your mind renewed on the Word of God, then when the naysayers come and say, you can't have this, you won't own it, you can't live there, you won't live anymore, whatever the case may be, you can say, but my God told me in His Word, thus and so. See, and And that's what we need to do. We need to fill our hearts so that our hearts won't fail us or our minds fail us when confronted with naysayers. And they're going to be quick to tell you what you can't do. Because the spirit of this world is negative. Because the God of this world is negative and full of fear. But God is raising up an army in these last days that will stand up and say, "What thus saith the Lord." And I'm convinced of this, that although the world may speak negative, they're looking and hoping that there really is a God that loves them and cares for them. And this world is looking for that God. They're looking. Amen. So you can see this story. You know the story of David and Goliath. And then, of course, all the way down, it keeps saying, David keeps affirming. David said, verse 34, and David said unto Saul, verse 37, and David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Right? He will. Right? Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David did what? Said unto Saul. He kept saying. He kept affirming what he believed. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know the rest of the story. But you can see the spirit of faith. He kept affirming who he believed in and what his God will do. And that's the spirit of faith. No matter how negative the circumstances are, we affirm what we believe and say what my God will do for me. Hallelujah. Let's go to Numbers. Of course, you know this story. This is Joshua and Caleb. I'm just backing up here in chapter 13. And it talks about, you know, they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and they gave an evil report to Moses and Aaron. And you can see in verse 27, they said, "Well, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But nevertheless," these are the naysayers, "the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." You could flip that around, and you know, whatever it is that you're confronted with, they're going to say, it's not possible. But if you have a promise in this word, this is no different to me than God promising them Canaan land. And what did Caleb and Joshua do? It says in verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Hey, he didn't come up and start talking about all the obstacles. He was talking about his God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said, we're well able to overcome. Hallelujah. Well able to overcome. And what happened? Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, but we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. That's key right there. When you have a promise of God, and you are confident of that, don't you get off it. That's why I say it's important. Excuse me. It's important to not entertain the spirit of fear. Fear will defeat you if you entertain it every time. Every single time. You have, what does it say? But we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. A sound mind doesn't operate in fear. Excuse me. So anyways, you know this story here, and of course the Lord wasn't pleased with that, and he told him, for every day that you were in that land searching it out, you're going to go 1 year for every day. You're going to march around this desert for 40 years, and this group will not go in. But Caleb and Joshua did, with a whole new group. I like this in verse 9, chapter 14. It says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. There's that word fear again. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. How many times, let's jump over there. Let's go to Luke 8. Let's go over there for a minute. This is an account where Jesus is concerned. Luke chapter 8. And look at verse. And this same account is in Mark chapter 5, where the woman with the issue of blood. And of course, in verse 48 it says, and of course this is, he's talking to the woman with the issue of blood. He said, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. In verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, what did he say? Fear not. Don't fear. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in. That means he kicked them all out. He didn't allow them to go in, except Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And what happened? They all laughed at him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. See, so she was dead, right? She was D-E-A-D. And he put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Spirit of faith. He removed fear from that environment. That's why I believe in this environment here, the more we seek him, the more we remove fear, any fear from this environment. Even this, in your home, you remove fear from your home, there's nothing but faith. There's nothing but peace. Remove fear from your home. Remove fear from any business. Remove fear from this place, any vestige of fear. If you're fighting it, come to this place saying, I know I'm coming to a place where there's no fear. I'm going to just soak in the presence of God. I'm just going to soak in. Because, you know, we may fight that. That's tangible. It's real. You may be fighting it. But that fight is already lost. Because he said he has spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them, triumphing over them in himself, in the cross. So fear has been defeated. It's trying to make you think it's so big and bad and powerful. But just continue to stand in faith. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 8. There's another account here. There's so many accounts, just a few here. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. It's the account where the master speaks to the wind. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was what? He was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? I think in Mark, it says, Mark 4, I think it says, no faith. Let me see here, Mark. Yeah. In Mark 4, it says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? That's not good. So fear will hinder your faith. Don't embrace it. You cannot have the spirit of faith and the spirit of fear at the same time. When you have the spirit of faith, you say only what you believe. So let me close with this. The spirit of faith, I think the main emphasis that I want to say today is the spirit of faith, that transformed mind, that overcoming attitude is going to come as you renew your mind to the Word of God. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. That's our mandate, is to live by faith and not by sight. We're to walk by faith, live by faith, and not by what we see, feel, touch, taste. But this spirit of faith is the same spirit of faith that's in us, is the same spirit of faith that Jesus had and operated in, the same spirit of faith that David operated in, the same spirit of faith that the apostles operated in. And if we will just feed upon the Word of God, get our minds constantly being renewed, there isn't one thing that we will fail in. Not one. There may be some today. I mean, how many have walked through, or let me put it another way, how many have been confronted with fearful thoughts and things? All of us have. Everybody has. And sometimes they're stronger than others, other times. But I'm going to tell you that I heard somebody say this: it's harder to destroy an acorn than it is a full-grown oak tree. And so as you become planted in the Word of God, you're more of a threat to the devil's kingdom. And how are you going to get planted? You're going to get planted in God's Word. And that's one of the things that I am so appreciative of ministries that teach the Word of God and continue to just keep teaching it, teaching the Word of God. You're seeing, like Brother Hagen, now they have over 200 Rhema Bible training centers worldwide. What is their thrust? Teach them the Word of God, get them filled with the Spirit of God, and go out and win people for Christ and change this earth, change the face of this earth. You know, I was sharing this Tuesday, I think it was, on Wednesday at Hour of Power. And I remember, I think it was Dr. Bill Winston was sharing this a couple years ago. Go over to Matthew 18. And I guess it fits here. And verse 18 and 19, Matthew 18:18-19. But Dr. Bill Winston was sharing this at some meetings down in Columbia, South Carolina. Just happened to be there a couple years ago. And he talked about not being subject, and of course, you know, you hear him speak, and Brother Copeland speaks on the Babylonian system, not being subject to this world system. But he was talking about operating in the kingdom, in the kingdom principles and the kingdom promises of God. And verse 18 here in Matthew 18, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be," not might be, "shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And some of the other translations say, "Whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven." So he talked about a minister friend of his that was in Newark, New Jersey. And he said at the time, Newark in this particular area was having some real challenges. A lot of drugs and prostitution and various kind of things in this area. And he said they began to just start walking the streets and began to forbid certain things. They began to decree and pronounce certain things, walk these streets and begin to speak to the buildings that were known drug havens and prostitution things and so forth. And he said they began to see a change, and he said not long after that, he said Mark Zuckerberg decided to just all of a sudden decide to give $100 million to Newark. See, some folks think, you know, things just happen. No, they don't. How many just think that the gas prices are lower because it just happened? No. Somebody's been praying and decreeing. And we need to not sit back and just cruise through and just, wow, isn't this great? I got extra money and, you know, we don't have to spend as much on this and that. Things that are choking the advancement of the kingdom of God, those things that are problematic, begin to feed upon the word of God and begin to speak to those things. Forbid things to exist in your neighborhood. Stop allowing it. Rise up with the spirit of faith and speak with confidence those things that you believe. That's what this says here. This says here, what things soever you bind. That means we're saying something. If it says here, what things soever you loose or allow. So heaven's waiting on earth. Heaven's waiting on the church to do something, to say something. Hallelujah. And it's going to take faith and the spirit of faith to get it done. And I'm believing these things that, you know, that's why I say we need to stop complaining about things. That's why I'm almost at the place I don't even want to look at the news, because it's twisted to excite. It's presented in a way to play with your emotions and to do what? Get you to think a certain way. But the Bible says that we're to do what? We are to have our minds changed and transformed by the word of God. That's not negative. That means I'm overcoming. That means I'm changing things. That means I'm not allowing things that are devilish to exist in my life or neighborhood. We're going to rise up and change it. Hallelujah. That's why it's important that if we want to see change in our nation, whatever it is, you want to see change in your state or your city, and you're feeling, as they say, some kind of way about it, don't complain about it. Feed on the word of God. Get your heart full and your mind changed and see it like God sees it. Not like the way the world wants you to see it. See it like God sees it. He wants to establish his covenant here in the earth and his kingdom. And he's going to do it through us, his people, by and through the spirit of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So our destiny is solely determined by our faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you for this word today. Father, we are no longer and we will not continue to be hearers only, but doers of your word. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. And we decree that righteousness reigns in our nation. Righteousness. And the name of Jesus is exalted in our nation, in our state that we live in this city that we live in. Righteousness reigns, not corruption and not injustice, but righteousness, truth, and justice reigns in the name of Jesus. And we decree it, and we will not allow injustice and unrighteousness to reign in this state of New York. And we thank you, Father, that those things that hinder, we forbid it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the spirit of unity in the churches of like precious faith. We thank you, Father, that we're coming together to join arm in arm and to tear down the devil's strongholds in this state in the name of Jesus and this nation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Let this word be sealed in our hearts. Bring it to our remembrance in Jesus' name. Amen.